In today's episode, we tackle six ways to better tell your church's story online. Jesus used parables to get his message across, and pastors today should follow his lead. We may not call them parables, but storytelling today is just as important as it was 2,000 years ago. Join us as we uncover how the most successful churches tell their stories online to reach more people and grow. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Well, hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right podcast, episode number 10. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host.
Hey guys, Ian Hyatt here.
Hey Ian, thanks for being with us here today. Looking forward to our topic, which is six ways to better tell your church's story online. We want to dive in a little bit to some conversation on storytelling. That is something that is kind of a lost art for a lot of people nowadays, I would say. And we put out a blog post this week on that topic, right?
Yeah, we did. We did. So it's good timing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. The way I think of it is this, is that we don't call what we do the same thing, but Jesus told stories, right? We call what Jesus did, we call them parables. But like, it would be weird if I said that, hey, online, make sure you speak in parables, because we almost feel like parables are kind of like half stories, half riddles. So I think that could sometimes be challenging for people. So I think we stick with the term storytelling, even though it's very clear to me that Jesus was a master storyteller. And that's part of what made him such a great teacher. Would you agree? Mm-hmm.
I would hope so. Yes, I agree. The Lord's the best storyteller. But no, indeed, there's plenty of examples of that. So he backed it up, right?
He backed it up. That's exactly right. He was a good storyteller. And I think as church leaders, it is so important that we model Jesus in that. And in when we have the greatest story to tell in the story of Jesus and the Gospels, just really making sure that we become great at the craft of storytelling. And it is important to do that in person. I think most pastors and church leaders know that telling stories in sermons is important. If you get up there and you monologue for 45 minutes and you just talk about theology or just read scripture and tell no stories.
Or just hellfire and brimstone and no stories.
That's you. I know you're that kind of guy, right?
That's me. I have that, this kind of somewhat calm demeanor now, but it's different whenever I get up at the pulpit. No, it's crazy. That
Jonathan Edwards, sinner in the hands of an angry God kind of guy. No stories needed. Just let them know they're going to hell. So
that's right. Then people can kind of derive their own stories from that. There you go.
Exactly. So. Yeah. No, but I think that having pastored, and I know you've taught, you spoke at churches that I've pastored, and you pastored alongside me years ago. And I know both of us as teachers, we really worked on telling great stories. So I think we get that for the most part in churches and doing announcements and all those things. Stories are important. I think a lot of churches miss that opportunity as we've transitioned to so much of our work being online and digital nowadays. It's so important to digitally tell your story, to tell your story online. And I think we just want to be able to help churches do some of that kind of stuff. So, so why don't, I guess you can kick us off with number one. You can tell us what the first one we have. We have six different ways that churches can better tell their story online. So why don't you tackle it for us?
Yeah, happy to and excited. This is kind of a little more creative topic than we've had. So we get to kind of dive into some creativity here. And the first topic in that is make the visitor the hero. The visitor is the hero. And what does that mean? You know, that kind of sounds, you probably haven't, I know I've been in many church meetings and everything. You usually don't hear that as something that leadership would discuss. Let's make our visitors the hero. Because we all know, obviously, Jesus is the hero, best storyteller, like we said, right? But this is something that's very important because it is very a very Christ-like strategy, as well as a very good marketing strategy, because it's making it all about the person you're trying to reach instead of just you or your church or just a personality or just the pastor of your church. It's making them the hero. And this is not something that we have just thought of here ourselves at Reach Right. There's right. an amazing book, Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller. Right. Just looked at it on my shelf, and it's one of the better books I think I have on my shelf here. So, and really, he really hits home on that in this book. And, it really just reveals that you want to get into the mind of the person that you're trying to reach, but there's always a hero in a story, right? So there's yes. a hero in a movie. You know, we love superhero movies. Not you as much. I know I kind of watch a little bit more of the superhero movies and all of that, but you're just more intellectual, I think, and smarter than me. But but we all respond to that, even in other movies, not just superhero movies. There's always going to be a hero, right? There's going to be right. something this person goes through and a story that they fit into.
Right. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think what a lot of churches make the mistake of, so certainly Jesus is the hero. That's not a mistake. So right. keep Jesus your hero. He's the main, he's the crux of the story and everybody's story. The whole history of the world is based on God's redemptive plan through Jesus, and he is the hero of that story. That being said, a lot of times churches make the mistake of making themselves the hero. They tell the story where the church is the knight in shining armor here to save the day and how great they are. Yeah. And I think what people want to see online, especially, and I think this is what a lot of the greatest brands out there do, is they do a really good job of making their customer the hero. And it could be right. something as simple as laundry detergent, for instance. Yeah. In every laundry detergent ad, it's not talking about how great the little pods are that clean the laundry. Yeah. It's not focusing on what a great story that Tide is and how they rose out of nothing to become the best at cleaning laundry. Mm-hmm. But it's always who? It's the mom who's the mom. Tackling, going 100 different ways.
Or the stay-at-home dad, not as much.
Stay-at-home dad, sure. Yeah, yeah. So. Absolutely. But, you know, it's the mom who's dealing with soccer stains and blood stains, and she's fighting, and she's the hero that's getting all the stains out of the family's laundry.
That's
and
right.
it helps people kind of paint that picture of how they can win if they use Tide, you know, if they use whatever right. the product is, OxiClean or whatever they're using there. So the same thing it goes for how we tell stories online is that with churches, we have an even more important story, I would argue, than clean clothes, as we have the story of people's eternal soul and where it goes. It's really important.
It's the ultimate win. Yes.
Yeah, exactly right. But people, they're certainly coming there with a need, but painting a picture where someone who gets onto your site or you encounter them on social media, where they can start to paint themselves as someone who can make a difference in their community or start to turn their life around with God's help, that they can do those kinds of things with your church's help, which actually brings us to number two. I'll go ahead and tackle that because it kind of goes it's hand in hand. The way that we should position the church in good stories is we should position our visitors and people that are new to our community as the hero, and we get the position of the guide, right? So if you put it in like Star Wars term, I think this is what Donald Miller does in Building a Story Brand. Great book again. I too recommend it.
Great movies too, in my opinion.
Star Wars movies, yes. The first three were fantastic.
That's another episode.
We'll downhill get into that since then. Yeah, well, that's episode 11. Star Wars movie reviews, but. Yeah. I think if you look at that, you have in the first few episodes of Star Wars, you have Luke, he is the hero, and you have Obi-Wan as the guide, right? So Obi-Wan Kenobi is the one who's there to help Luke figure out what it means to become a Jedi and to go out and face the foes that he has to face in that story. Yeah. So the same thing goes for us in the church, is that we get to position ourselves not as the hero. We're not the ones here to save the day. That's what our visitors and people that are engaging with our church can be. We get to position ourselves as the guide. As you may not know how to get there, you may not have a clear path on how to get from where you find yourself right now, wherever that would be, to a whole life with good relationship with God and knowing what eternity is going to look like for you. But we're here to help you down that process down that road of figuring those kinds of things out. So yeah. I think one of the strongest things that churches can do online is trying to think through what it means to position yourself as a guide with that. And so where this gets hard for churches, though, is that a lot of times we want to talk about how great we are and what
right.
we are about and not about what's in it for other people. And I right. get this. There's a tension with that because like in scripture, I really think it's an important part. I mean, humility is something that's important, right? We don't want people to actually think that life is all about them and it revolves around right. them because yeah. that's not yeah. true. You know, we right. want people to know that we are best when we are second. You know, we put God first, others second, and then ourselves third. That's yeah. where we really find joy in our lives is in that place. And so we need to get them there. But I think everybody comes from a place where they kind of see themselves as the center of the story. This is just yeah. normal, the way humans are wired in that way. Yeah. And so we need to resist that temptation to try and rebuke that right out of the gate
yeah.
and make
yeah.
sure we kind of go along and help people yeah. write themselves into that truth that maybe you should become second. Yeah. So that's kind of our thoughts on that. I don't know. Anything to add?
Yeah, I think too, if a pastor's thinking of a way to carry that out practically online, whether or not it's their website or social media, this has somewhat to do with like assimilation, right? The steps right. that they take, you know, we do with the work we do on websites, we do next steps pages or, sure. you know, all of those things. And you can kind of have, we're not going to dive into what that looks like because every church is different and there's different ways to communicate that, but really
right.
kind of giving them just like there's stages in a movie that you know the hero walks through from the beginning, the middle, the end, when the conflict comes and then the
right.
climax comes and the end. There's stages within church life to walk people through that online. And so that could be on a next steps or, you know, type page or yep. all of that. And even some of that can be on your about page and communicated and announced on social media. But yeah, so that's, you know, that's all
that's
stuff.
A really good point. That's
yeah.
And let me say this. I think that
yeah.
In what you're saying, I kind of going back to the Star Wars reference is that you have to kind of build out the steps and take people down a path with that. Because if the slogan for Star Wars was boy kills father, like that's like yeah. that's the slogan on the movie poster.
Yeah,
nobody goes
yeah.
to see that movie, right?
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah,
it's
yeah.
the whole process that people are intrigued yeah. by this young boy coming of age, learning how to fight the dark side and
yep.
Just kind of going through that. And then it gets to the actual truth at the end of it. And I think there's so much for churches to learn if we learn to tell stories that way. So
good.
Another thought.
Yeah. Yeah. And to kind of shift gears a little bit, it's still going to be tied to what we were talking about there, but this is kind of just something that I think has been a simple and healthy strategy for years now, but churches continue to fail at it. And that brings up our third point is to make it personal, you know, make yeah. your story that you're telling online personal, you know, make it about people. I know you and I have been in the web industry and church marketing industry for a long time, you know, 12 plus years, right? 12 years or so.
Yep.
And we've always seen, even from when websites were first a thing for churches and then social media came, what's one of the things, the worst marketing mistakes you can make on your homepage? I bet it's on the tip of your tongue, but it's just a picture of the building. There's
yeah,
nothing,
of course.
You know, or just service times and a cross, you know, and again, nothing wrong if you have a great building and to identify the building.
We love the cross, right? Crosses are good.
Obviously nothing wrong with the cross and all of those things. But again, when someone comes right to your site for the first time, you know, they're turned off by just a building. They're wanting things to be personal. They're looking for other people like them or just yeah. seeing faces and it's not just through photos. We're talking about just also just, you know, not just having just your church history and mission and vision statement, but let's get personal. I mean, the way that every pastor's church started was personal, right? I mean,
yep.
Jesus gave them a vision personally and other people jumped, the core leaders and the core members of that church when they started, they jumped on board.
That's right.
You know, and it was a personal thing and a passionate thing. So I think that's a big thing as to what you're communicating online. You're making it personal by making it about them, but you're also, as a church and church staff, you need to be personal with the content and those things online.
Yeah, I think you're right. I remember we used to talk, there was a stat that you and I used to say a lot, that the main reason why people connect to a church is because they feel some kind of a connection with the pastor of the church.
Yeah.
And there's kind of a fine line to walk. Like, so we want to, we're not saying build a website or make everything in your church about your pastor all the time, or the leader or his face all the time.
And, right.
You know, that's something that's reserved for very few churches and very few kinds of leaders that can do that. But I do think that making it personal and having people have that kind of authenticity, I think that really goes a long way in helping people find a connection. I have found that to be the case, that when people made some kind of a connection with me as a pastor of a church, it's not that they're probably more likely to come, but I think what it really does is it makes them much, much stickier. The odds of them sticking around, it's because they find some kind of a personal connection. They can relate to you. And this is what it, really the power of storytelling is that people don't relate to buildings or concepts the same way they relate to other people, which brings me to, I guess, the next one is that, number four is that it's important that you have members tell your story. Because I think that people don't connect to just concepts or hopes of testimonies, but they connect to real stories of how people just like them had, who had similar experiences, they got involved at their church or they got connected and then God stepped in. And having someone actually share that with their own mouth, so they can see somebody actually tell that story, it really is powerful to do something like that. I know we've seen a lot of churches do that, right? Like a lot of our churches we've helped do websites for, they've done that and they've had some pretty good results with that.
Oh, yeah. Some of the best church websites, in my opinion, are ones that do that. It's always good to have as much video and story. I mean, we see this on business websites, too, right? You see, like, you know, this automotive place, they didn't rip me off and they treated me like a person and gave me a great price. And, and then that person, so it could be in text, it can be in video form. Video, of course, very powerful if you can pull that off.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, you know, I know one example and one of the churches we serve that I'm thinking of, is that they have, you know, three brief, nothing too crazy long, but brief, you know, member testimonials. And these are people from all walks of life, you know, young, older, different ethnicities, all of that. And they all kind of have that. Here's where I was at whenever I started looking for a church. Here's how the church came along, guided me, or the person that I met at the church, or the pastor's messages, whatever it is. And this is what God did. And here's where I'm at now. And here's how I serve at the church. And man, there's, that's super powerful because it's coming from their mouths. And if you think about if you're looking for a church, there's some real power in seeing someone like you, and not just the pastor promising it's going to be a great experience and you're going to be transformed and all of that, but you're seeing someone else who was just like you that now is at a better place, again, in their personal story and journey. And so it's a very powerful thing, a worthwhile thing to pull off if you can.
Yeah. I'll say this, one other like little kind of pastoral tidbit with this is I find that when you can have testimonies online in video format, they're much safer than doing testimonies live. I'm for live testimonies too, but I don't know. I've led churches where we let people do testimonies pretty early in their their walk with Jesus.
Yeah.
I remember I pastored at a church where we had like a bus full of people that were in a recovery program would come in every single Saturday night for our Saturday night service. And, you know, sometimes we'd have a testimony time and one of them would get up. I remember this very clearly. And he just didn't know any better, but he got out there and said, "Jesus is effing awesome." And he didn't say effing. He said like, he didn't know any better. You just kinda, that's how we talked. He knew better. It's just
he was raw and ripe in his faith.
He was, and so, God was doing something in him, and we all mostly laughed and did that. But I will say that you can edit those kinds of things out in video testimonies and kind of tailor the story the way that you want it to be told that way. But so
you brought a memory back when you and I got we got stuck in a church that allowed a little bit too much live testimonial for about maybe 2.5+ hours. And nothing wrong if God takes you that long. I venture to, I don't know if there's too many successful churches that go that long in a service, but yeah, we, you know, and that comes from not just someone who didn't know any better. It might even be a seasoned believer that goes up there and this is their opportunity to be the pastor and preach. preacher. And then, so they go a little long-winded with things. And so, yeah, you're
what
right
would you
about
say,
that.
Just, I mean, guess like a question. If you were to give our listeners some advice on this, how long should a testimony video be? Like, what is the right, I mean, if you had to kind of ballpark it, what would you tell someone?
I think a testimony is that's a little more challenging than like a pastor's welcome video, right? Because a pastor's welcome video is, we recommend usually 60 to 90 seconds tops.
Right.
I think if you can do that with a member, that's great. I think though, it's okay to, if it's very engaging and well done and the video is well done, and because this is something a little bit more than just a greeting, it is a little bit of more of a storytelling. I would think anywhere, if you can keep it a minute and a half to maybe 3 minutes. So maybe almost kind of doubling that greeting video. Again, shorter is always better, but if you can squeeze it and condense it into something there, and if it's engaging enough, someone might spend a few minutes there, but nothing more than a few minutes. No one's looking to watch Star Wars or a major motion picture on your website or online on social media. Media too. So
suit it up. So I think that's about right. I would have said about 2 minutes or so. So I'm in the same boat. I think that's it. And if you have lots of them, that's the great thing too. I mean, there's no extra cost for having more testimonies online. So have dozens. And back to what you were saying too, about like reviews. I know that's basically what these are. These are church reviews is what testimonies are, or they're God reviews, you know, kind of saying, this is what God did for me, and getting that out there. That's how we make all of our buying decisions nowadays is reviews. We always check the reviews. And if you think people aren't looking at the reviews of your church before they show up, I think you're wrong. I think that's something that people want to know before they show up for the first time. So why don't you get number five for us, Ian?
Yeah, number five is really talking about the journey. Every church has a journey. You know, I think we sometimes focus on just the beginning and end, or the end goal, like we said, is salvation. Of course, that is the end goal. But there's a journey and there's some more storytelling. I think churches often forget. They think about, okay, let's have an about page that has, you know, again, you know, our history a little bit, beliefs, maybe some values, mission statement, and we're done with it. And then here's our staff. Here's some pictures of our staff. Now, that stuff's good, but I think that, you know, think back to, it makes me think of Rick Warren, right? That's Saddleback Church, they have done a good job of telling that church's story from the beginning stages of when they started out in his living room and they went door to door. And, you know, I think it's kind of just like what the Bible talks about, getting back to your first love, right? So what is it that God did from the start, and what's this journey been like? You know, what's the journey been like for your church as it's been growing, and even as it's maybe been declining, you know, there's good and bad in the journey. But I think churches can dig a little bit deeper, you know, maybe get with some of the founding members or leadership of your church and kind of have a little, you know, come to Jesus meeting to refresh yourselves and, hey, man, remember what God did at the very beginning of this, and look at what he's done, you know, what he did after year two. And now that we're at maybe year four and five, what are kind of some of the, what's the journey? And you can tell that throughout the content of your website.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I want to be clear about what we're talking about with this here, because sometimes you'll see church websites that they'll have like a church history page. And then on that church history page, there'll be 6,000 words of text just lined down. If you want to read the entire history on, you know, some of these churches that are on the East Coast that were founded in the 1700s, here's every pastor we've had and building that we've been in and the fire that happened back then and how we came out of that. And so, I mean, I've seen these kinds of pages before. I don't think that's what we're talking about. I think that it still has to be something that's engaging. There has to be a reason why you're telling it. You also have to be careful as you talk about your own journey. You have to be careful to not cross that line of making yourself the hero, right? Like, because that's the first point, is that the visitor still needs to be the hero. God's the hero. The visitor's the secondary hero. We are the guides in all of this. And it's important that you know a little bit about the guide, but you'll know that we know a lot less about Obi-Wan than we do about Luke, right? So we know he establishes himself at the guide. Now, so I think it is important for the church to tell its story of the journey. But I think it's also important as leaders of churches that we tell our stories about our personal journey. Yeah. I know that there's really nothing more powerful than hearing that from a leader of a church about something that they're currently going through or struggling right. with, or how yeah. they have, how God's taken them on a progression. Because sometimes we forget this, is that people think that pastors are kind of on a pedestal and that they are just by nature different. They maybe don't have mm-hmm. the struggles. They can't relate right. to them. That's what yeah. pastors come across as sometimes. And so we need to be careful and probably over communicate that pastors are regular people, that yeah.
we struggle with sin, we struggle with challenges, and we like sports sometimes
or movies. And yeah. sometimes, you know, we have pastors are people. And so we need to make sure that our journey is clear for people so that they can, it helps with that idea of making it personal and making us more relatable, I think, when we can talk about our story and talk about these things. So I think every pastor, every church leader should be blogging on their church website. We've talked about that. There's a variety of reasons for that. Yeah. I think from a search engine optimization standpoint, it's really important. It makes you more visible. But I just think people will engage not so much with principles that the pastor talks about, but what's actually happening in your church leaders' lives and talking about the journey that they've been on. It really goes a long way.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, you hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah. And I think that actually leads in well to the final one. Number six is, in talking about our journey, don't be afraid to talk about hard times.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to, don't feel this need to sugarcoat or gloss over the challenging seasons that people, you personally even, have had in your own life. And feel free to put that online. I think that we are in a time in history where people value authenticity more than ever before, because I think people are better at spotting phonies than they were before, because there's so much that's polished and phony out there. We live in this Instagram culture where everything we put online is the glamorized best 1% moments of our lives.
Yeah.
And I think it's really relatable to people when they see church leaders and people in their lives, when they can actually talk about some of their struggles. And it makes us, I think, just better able to connect with people and know that if they are going through the same thing that their pastor went through, then, you know, this pastor has much more of a place and a foothold to speak into their lives. So what do you think?
Yeah, you reminded me of one of my Facebook posts whenever I had a failure in my life. I was training for an athletic event a while back and trained very hard, was in the shape for it, and had kind of a medical issue, had an issue go down. Long story short, did not make the finals for this specific event. And I got pretty... Yeah, I almost didn't want to post that. You know, I kind of wanted to just, you know, keep it. But man, I can tell you, I never received more encouragement than I did whenever I made that post. I mean, I don't remember ever having as many comments as I did with that post, and people saying, "Oh man, you're fit, you're in great shape, keep your head up, you'll get it next year," type stuff and all of that. And I mean, but it took humbling myself, being transparent and being a bit vulnerable to, you know, get a failure out there to people. But I mean, you know, it was encouraging. It you know, I think in a time right now where people are very discouraged with humanity, and we're seeing a lot of poor behavior from humans all over the place, you know, it brings out the good in people, and it brings out those qualities. You know, we're all created in His image. It brings out that God's DNA, if you will, in us. When I think a lot of people, they want to encourage others and respond that way. And again, going back to, you know, when you're promoting your church and all of that, it shows you as real. And hey, they're not perfect. I don't have to be perfect to go to this church. They've struggled too.
Oh yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. That idea that church is for perfect people, I think it's pervasive. And anything we could do to get around that, I think, would really go a long way for people. So, yeah I think you're exactly right. I know for me, so for our audience that maybe doesn't know this, Ian, you and I, we planted a church together back in 2007. And we've had varying degrees of success in our ministry lives. Mm-hmm, but that was one that was not marked by lots of success, that church plant venture. I would went on to pastor another church that, you know, we did, by God's grace, the church did really well. And I know you've been really involved in ministry, but, and it's not to say we didn't have any results in that time where we planted a church and we had some good times, but I'll say that I'm someone that struggles with this. I'll be honest to our audience about that, is that I try to gloss over it. Like, what did we say when we kind of closed down the church plant that we were doing there? We told people that we wound up merging with another church. And that's like, that's what church planters say to like kind of cover our shame a little bit in the fact that it didn't go how we and everybody was kind of hoping that it would go. So we say we merged our church when really a better description would be that we failed at church planting.
That's right. So you get the comment when you're telling someone that, they're like, oh, that's great.
It's that idea of kind of, it's a way that we are covering up maybe our hard times and some of our struggles. But I can tell you that when I got to terms with that several years later, it was pretty raw for a while because we invested a lot into that and had huge vision for what God was going to do. And several years later, I was pastoring a church. It was growing and God was doing great things there. And I shared from the pulpit, you know, that this church brought me in as a failed church planter. I know. And I kind of got that out there. And I felt that people really, there was a position change in the way they related to me. When I was open and upfront about that, I became much more relatable to people, and having them know that just like everybody on earth, that I have series of successes and failures in my life, it makes all the difference. So I think part of your story has to be not just the positive, but getting in there and telling the stories of your failures. I think it really goes a long way.
Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. Yeah, I think that's a good way to close out and leave people with something encouraging there to tell the story.
Encouraging.
With,
so. Talk about your failure. Yeah, that's the way we'll close today. No,
but as we know through, you know, in our weakness, we're strong, right?
Amen.
As
the word says. He is made strong. So that's right.
That's right. That's, and so I think God has a way of, I think when most people get transparent like that, if we stay the course with God, he always turns it around, right? So there's
that's
a positive.
Exactly right.
Well, let's leave it on that positive.
Yeah,
note,
to God be the glory with that. So, well, good. Well, I want to just thank our listeners. Thank you guys so much for listening. We've been seeing tons of more people watching, listening online, and it's really cool to see how many people this is reaching and hearing from some of our audience. So if this has been good for you, or if you hate it, let us know. Yeah. That's fine too. Let us know privately if you hate it. Let us know publicly if you really liked it. But if you could rate, review, subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you watch it on Facebook or YouTube, we'd love for any comments or feedback. We try to get back to everybody that writes to us on that. So thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.